The team would like to acknowledge that the Unmortal Voice is recorded and produced on the unceded lands of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, Quanlum, and Kwikwetlem nations. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the haunting.
Hello? Hello? Hey, it's me, the voice. Oh dear, that doesn't sound very good. Hearth, your door is looking like it could use a touch-up. What happened? Intruders again. That's annoying. How did you make them leave? You recorded my voice? Why? All right, but Hearth, my voice is not to be used as a tool for fear. I'm not scary. I'm cute. At least I think I am. How did you record it? Also, what did you even play? Oh, Ricky Radio.
What if I forget something important? I'm melting! I'm melting!
How is that scary? Indeed, that does sound different. I'm impressed. I guess we've become that spooky house and ghost after all. But if it's the only way to get people to leave you alone, then fine. You can use it. But how about we record this instead? Ready?
Bed. Bed.
Do you think that would work? Anyways, it looks like they really did something to your door there, Hearth. I'll drop by again soon to fix it for you. You know, I might shape up to be quite the handy spook. I did fix another house in the mortal realm just a few days ago, actually. It was one of the houses I'll be joining. I met the first two mortals I'll be staying with. Tomorrow is my last evening in the Unmortal Realm before I move in with my two new roommates. I'm allowed to go back to the Unmortal Realm to attend my other classes, but otherwise, I'm supposed to stay up here. I'm only technically enrolled in the directed study right now, but I do want to take one more class. I'm currently stuck between two options. One is called Living in Kaka, taught by the professor. I'm not sure what this one could be about, honestly. But that in itself makes me curious. The description for their classes usually leave me more confused if I'm being fully candid. For this class, the description was situating the self and modes of being through a critical lens by mapping social relationships and environments. It also says their course may include critical writing, analysis, and the odd use of profanities. So I'm feeling more curious than anything on what this class could be. The other class that I'm considering is Opera House 101, which I... Why not that one? Hearth! Where is this? What in the realm did an opera house ever do to you? I'm still curious, but I'll drop it and the class as well. Well, I guess that settles that. Both of my classes will be with the professor. They're quite the eccentric character. I had a class once with them in the past that was focused on archaeological mishaps. Part of the class was focused on guessing what certain objects from mortal history were used for. Once we had guessed our answers, the professor would reveal what it was actually designed for. One class, the professor brought forward a rather odd-looking copper-stained stone with cracks on one side. We spent the entire lecture debating on what the stone was used for. At the end of the class, when we were all exhausted from fighting each other on what this was, the focus shifted back to the professor for them to reveal the truth. The professor swept their hands towards the stone and announced with an air of triumph, "This, my dear students, is only a rock and nothing more." Then they cackled and swooped out of the room, thus signaling the class was over. This memory sticks with me so clearly in my mind. I find that I enjoy all of their classes. The professor is indeed a bit chaotic, but they are a brilliant teacher. I'm glad to have them guide me through my directed study. I'm enjoying our meetings already, actually. They're helping me lead the conversations while we're in the mortal realm. I'm really, really appreciating this. Because my role in the research shifted to be more active, therefore the professor has taken on a lot of the organizational aspects and setup so that I can focus on being a participant. Admittedly, I was feeling very overwhelmed at first, especially since there's less of a rigid structure to this study. It worries me because the research process seems very wishy-washy. I want there to be more control over how we monitor data. However, the university head has so far come to the conclusion that since all relationships are so varied, creating any strict structures may alter how the participants act within it. Therefore, the goal is for all participants to continue as casually and comfortably as they would in their day-to-day lives. The changing factors will be my introduction to the households, as well as the participants' individually monthly meetings with the counselor to discuss their experiences. I will have no role in those sessions, though. What I will be doing is I'll be having my own ongoing meetings with the professor to discuss my experiences. They also want me to write reflectively on any moments, big or small, where I have even an inkling that trust was gained or lost. Over time, due to the growing record of these moments, we can start to look at any patterns that may show up in these notes. The professor will then carry these discussions to the mortal researchers supporting this project. I met with the mortal researchers about a week ago to test out the salt stones, and they're all really nice. They all seem very eager to meet me. The salt stones were also proven to be very effective. None of us even needed to see the salt stones for them to work. As soon as the salt stone registered that I wasn't wanted there, I was instantly sent out of the space. It all happened very fast and felt slightly strange, but not uncomfortably so. We even did a test where I latched onto a pillar to see if the salt stone would still launch me out of the space. And it did. I lost my ability to touch mortal objects, so my hand slipped through the pillar and it felt like I was being quickly, yet gently, pulled from the space. We found out that if the door isn't opened, I'm sent through the wall. What was fascinating to me was that regardless of how big the space was, I was sent out of there in exactly 1 second. We timed it in varying environments of different sizes to see how the stones would react in multiple spaces. I was having fun. And I think the researchers were too, but I also think they were feeling guilty about the trials because they kept apologizing. I had to keep reminding them that it didn't hurt at all. If anything, I felt a little thrill like when you're gliding down a slide. They also tried it on themselves, but as expected, it didn't work. Mortals can't move through walls anyways, so even if it did work, it would be different. They still tried, of course, but these are unmortal salt stones, after all. In my trials, however, I found it interesting that I could also get a sense when I was wanted in that space as well, but it didn't send me there instantly. Instead, the stones only offered me the choice to enter or not. The other aspect that the research team, including the professor, wanted to set up was my introduction into the participant households that I'll be staying with. Not all of the households have been decided yet, but the research team has decided to just move forward anyways. They already asked me to meet with the participants to start introducing myself. We were given a script to follow when writing our introduction letters. I do know how to use email, but I think the researchers have a rather romantic view of written correspondence. They've certainly been flattering the professor and I on our penmanship. The structure for the letter they gave me was simple. I had to introduce myself, share any details about my identity that I thought were important to be known, and give a fun fact about myself. This was my letter for the first home that I'll be joining. Very, very soon, in fact. There are two mortals living there, Amir and Erica, and we've already exchanged these introductions. At the time, I decided to keep mine short and simple. This is what I wrote. Dear Amir and Erica, I eagerly anticipate our first meeting where we can become better acquainted. A few details about myself that I would like to share are, I am a ghost. You may call me The Voice. And my best friend is a house. If you need to refer to me in the third person, you can refer to me as Ghosty. Also, the pronouns they, them should suffice. Cordially, The Voice. I know. I figured being concise would be ideal. I felt a little bad when I received their letter in return, which was certainly much better. I could have gone more in depth with mine. They wrote, Hello. Erica and I have a quick question for you. Is your first name The and last name Voice? Or are there no first and last names where you're from? When we say hello, do we say hello The Voice, hello Voice, or hello The? I'm really excited to meet you. It was a friend of Erica's that told us about this study. Then, somehow, we ended up asking for more info, and before you know it, here we are. We're getting a new roommate. How cool is that? This is Amir writing this, by the way. Erica is currently rolling her eyes at me over my shoulder as I write this. If she wanted a more serious letter, she could have written it, and she knows it. So, to introduce myself, hi, I'm Amir. I am a soft cotton human music child. My pronouns are they, them. My fashion could be broken into the sentence, is this soft? I have a softness scale that goes from not even to a mere pudding. Because I am the softest softness of them all. If you're lucky, you'll hear me playing the piano. I personally like to improv, but I can do requests. The piano we have set up in our small little place is my child. I got her for 30 geodes on buy a deal, and what a steal. I just had to fix her up a bit, and she was good as new. Erica doesn't want to give me the freedom of introducing her. Too much power, she says. So this is where I head off. Can't wait to meet ya. Hi, The Voice. This is Erica. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am the casual vampire of this home. I have been told by my colleagues and friends that I have business mom energy, which I have chosen to accept as a compliment. We're looking forward to meeting you. When you are looking for a place, our address can sometimes be hidden behind the bushes, so just make sure to look out for the sky blue mailbox with the painted eyes and antenna. It's hard to miss. See you soon. Amir and Erica. And that was the letter I got from them. Really? I don't see it. Anyways, after reading this, only then did it start to register for me that this was indeed happening. We were meeting each other the week following our letter exchange, which was yesterday. Just before our meeting, I started feeling very nervous. We had scheduled for me to arrive at the place at 2, and I arrived on the hour. Erica was indeed correct. Their mailbox certainly stood out. It was hand-painted. Very adorable. Very, very adorable. And Hearth, I met them. The letter reflected them so well. Amir wore possibly the comfiest, fluffiest looking clothing that I would absolutely wear was I mortal. As I was saying, the piano was lovely. It had a special kind of feeling to it. I could tell that it was deeply loved, almost like it was developing its own personality. Amir seemed very energetic in their writing, but in person, they're a bit more on the quiet side. Even so, this wasn't a somber sort of quietness, but more so pleasant and easygoing. Also, they smile a lot. Erica, their partner, was indeed more business, not necessarily stern, but more so motivated. She is apparently on the job hunt right now. I could see that she was busy because she was in and out of taking calls and sending out emails. I'm not sure why her friends called her mom, however. I found out she doesn't have any children. I was also curious why Amir introduced themselves as a child, since they're 25. I thought humans were at least considered adult or young adult by that stage. I'll remember that next time you need your door fixed, Hearth. Anyways, Erica brought forward a cheese board, which was beautifully displayed while we first introduced ourselves. I don't eat. Which is possibly harder for mortals to wrap their minds around. We don't fuel ourselves in quite the same way. I unfortunately had to decline the sustenance, but Amir just... the look on their face. I would describe it as pure joy when they found out it was all for them. Oh. From this, I discovered two things. Amir loves charcuterie boards, and Erica is vegan. I caught her grinning at herself as she watched Amir confess their love of cheese. They really do seem to care for each other. I am starting to realize that mortals may have a variety of different ways of expressing that. For instance, Erica was poking Amir's arm for a bit, but I think she was teasing them because Amir laughed very warmly at this. Again, they were very smiley. Also, the expression on her face was almost playful, but I could be reading this wrong. Erica had to leave early in order to go to a job interview. Amir says that she's a little stressed and she's not having much luck in the job market right now. She must be good at hiding it, or Amir just knows her better, but she looked fine to me. When Erica left, I had the chance to talk to Amir alone. I felt a little awkward because I don't know them well yet. So I wanted to present myself as polite, warm, and calm. I was worried that I was losing some of that, however, because I was talking perhaps more than, well, one who's there to witness should. It's just that I could feel the blanket of silence. In the underworld, silence never really bothered me. In fact, I found comfort in it. When meeting Amir, however, I almost wanted to prove that I was worth keeping around. So, I'm not sure. But every time there was a long silence, I felt like I was not presenting myself well. It was a strange experience. Amir really didn't seem to mind, though. They did ask me a few questions, but it was a bit more hesitant than it was in the letter. They inquired again on how my name was structured. Indeed. I ended up falling into my name within the first few moments of entering the underworld. Oh, I worry that this is the kind of story that will give you leverage to tease me with, Hearth. Alright, fine. Ugh. So, the moment I burst into the unmortal realm, I was already a lost soul. Are you done, Hearth? The moment I burst into the unmortal realm, I was already a lost soul. And I mean this in the geographical sense. So without going too in-depth, there are these energy centers that work almost like magnets for souls passing through. We have a few names for these. Polterpoles, hug tugs, welcome ducks, etc. The majority of souls passing from one realm to the next will be drawn in, but a few like myself might wander off track a bit. In those situations, we can end up popping up in any random location. It happens, but of course, if you're not expecting it, it can be quite a surprise. The day I entered the underworld, four ghosties were having a writer's meeting together and were bickering a bit. They were discussing Marshall Carey's classic novel, Dr. Irresponsible, and his unbelievably, most unexpectedly planned invention. Apparently, the discussion was around whether Dr. Irresponsible could indeed be considered a doctor in any sense. Additionally, they were debating if he truly could be considered a genius when he couldn't understand how to take responsibility for his own actions. The argument was getting rather heated when Paige, one of the four members of the meeting, shouted, "We need a voice of reason in this group!" Then poof! I appeared, freshly dead, just lying across the table where they were all gathered. I remember the members shooting back in shock. I was also surprised in that moment, in all honesty. I didn't know where I was, who I was, nor why I was lying splayed out across a table of paper, tears, and ink. It was very confusing. After the shock started to settle for everyone in the room, I remember Quill, another of the members, leaning forward and saying something along the lines of, hey, what are you doing here? Orientation happened 4 hours ago? This, as you can imagine, left me more perplexed. So my response was, hey, listen, I know as little as you do. So I certainly wasn't going to be the voice of reason in their arguments, but I did have a voice. And so I chose that as my name, The Voice. Though most just call me Voice. It happens sometimes. Though I do admit, my entrance was a bit dramatic in its timing. No. So in that meeting with Amir, all they shared was that I chose that name for myself because I felt like it suited me. They then complimented me on my voice, which was very sweet of them. Reflecting back on this, perhaps they were also feeling a bit awkward as well. The scenario of meeting someone new, knowing that they will now be someone important in your death, or I suppose life, can be very nerve-wracking. I didn't know what questions I could and should ask, and I believe Amir might have been in a similar position. They suggested a board game as a way to get to know one another. As Amir was leaning back in their chair to review the available selection, they accidentally leaned too far and lost their balance. The chair slipped backwards. I was absolutely terrified. I learned in the underworld that mortals can get hurt very easily. Since there was a loud clamor and the chair crashed into the wall, I thought I was witnessing something truly terrible. The chair was now on the ground with Amir sitting, well, lying on it. The base of the chair and their legs blocked me from seeing Amir's face, but there was a large dent in the wall. I was worried that their head had hit it and that they were in danger. And I started to panic, of course. I started to shout the word Fluffy, I'm not sure why, and I was just crying, Fluffy, no, Fluffy! What was I supposed to do? I was too scared to look. And I just started panicking. I didn't know what to say or do. I couldn't even look Amir in the eye. I was fighting for the courage to take a look and I wanted to make sure that Amir was okay, but I was so scared. Mortal injuries are terrifying. Amir heard me and started to softly chuckle. They asked me if I was okay. That absolutely stunned me. Was I okay? Amir was the one that just crashed through the wall. I decided to approach them and Amir was just lying there, covering their eyes with their palms and grinning. There was no blood, which was a relief. But their face was a bit flushed. I asked them if their eyes were all right, if they were badly injured, and if there's anything I could do. Amir just let out a soft sigh and said, I'm just a bit embarrassed. They then glanced up towards the wall and groaned, looking very sad. This is a mortal that cares about their home, which made me appreciate Amir all the more, but their head? What about their head? Amir didn't seem to care about that. They told me that they'd felt a bit of a tap and believed that it was the chair that caused the damage to the wall. There was a scratch on the chair, so it seemed likely. They didn't seem concerned at all. They even said that they didn't have so much as a headache, only the deep regret that I had to witness it. I honestly didn't care about that. I just wanted to make sure everyone was safe and all right. I offered to help fix the hole in the wall. Amir looked very eager at the offer, but then their face became more serious, and they quietly said that I didn't have to help. This led me to think that they were potentially declining to be polite. We hadn't fully set up the salt stones yet, so I was trying to be very careful. I told Amir that I would love to help fix their wall since I did that all the time for you. That said, if they really didn't want me to, then I wouldn't. Amir seemed to smile out of relief. and decided that they would like for me to help. I spent the next hour helping them fix the wall. They then wanted to repaint it themselves, though I offered to help with that as well. When we were finishing up, the professor and a few from the research team arrived asking us how our first meeting was going. Erica returned as well a few moments later. We coached Amir and Erica through how the salt stones worked, and they were both very pleased. The researchers stayed with Amir and Erica to cover a few more details since I'll be moving in with them in a few days. But once the stones were set up, I knew it was my time to leave. So that was my first meeting with my first new mortal roommates. Once I move in, I have around a week to warm in and get to know them before I have my first meeting with the other home that I'll be moving into as well. I'm supposed to be sending them an introduction letter soon, but all I know is that their names are Oris and Kale, and that they are also in a romantic relationship. Oris is a vampire and Kale is a human. I'll keep you updated. Next time I see you, I'll have been moving through the mortal realm for almost 2 weeks. Yeah, it is. I have to go now. All right, Hearth. Till our next haunting.
The Unmortal team is composed by Catherine Saul as the voice in your ear, Megan Trevor is the one that tucks you in at night, Cross Lee as a tailor of audio, and I'm Cindy Kao, who brings you the... If you enjoyed your stay, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. If you want access to more personal hauntings, visit us on Instagram and Ko-fi.